You want to pop that up there? I've had a blast, and you're going to really like this one today. This is like go out in glory here. But rumble strips, this is a picture of a center rumble strip. Anybody ever go over one of those? Then they have them on the shoulder. Those are usually the ones that talk to me the loudest. So I'm like just distracted, okay? And the whole purpose of rumble strips, these are that they're to, when you're going off the road, they're to say, whoa, pull it back in. All right. So rumble strips are tactile and audible, which means you're going to feel them, boom, 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 and you're going to hear them, boom, 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 boom. All right. And they're good. Matter of fact, the research says they have saved death rate 50% better because of those rumble strips. Now, they also cost a couple grand, but they're good. Lives are good, all righty? So I thought we'd do a series and wrap it around some of the cuteness of rumble strips. So today, if you want to title your message, write it down, Singing Rumble Strips. Singing! But I'm not singing. Singing Rumble Strips, okay? And our text has been, every week we start in Ephesians chapter 5. So just write it down, Ephesians chapter 5. We start at verse 14, and today we're just going to cruise through 20. I'm going to give you a quick review. But if you've missed any of these for whatever reason, hey, you go online, listen to them. All right, or you can still do what I do is I like CDs and there's an envelope in front of you. But the first week we talked about wisdom rumble strips. And we spent a lot of time in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs has got wisdom. And it was originally written for young adults as they go out into the world. Well, I still feel like I need all those things, so I'll read Proverbs. So that's wisdom strips. Then we talked about inner strips. Who remembers what the inner rumble strip was? Yes, your conscience. You got it right. You remembered. Guys. Okay, your conscience. And we all have our conscience God gave us. And it'll act like a rumble strip when you're going to go off the road. And last week, we talked about the outer rumble strip. And we said that's the people that you have in your life that are close, intimate friends. And you can actually become in sync with them where they get you. They got you. And they'll be your rumble strip when you start going off course. And I will say, it should be your spouse, but sometimes I don't want to listen to them. Like, what do you know, buddy? So that's why we have friends, an inner circle that'll be a rumble strip in our life. And praise God. So today I think is the coolest one. We're doing this one called Singing Rumble Strips. And guess who it's about? The Holy Spirit, absolutely, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will let you know when you're going off the path. The Holy Spirit will let you know. That's kind of one of his main purposes. And just jot these scriptures down. You can look them up later. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17. Just write that down. And then John chapter 16, verse 7. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit, again, is to keep you on track and do a little rumble if you go off track. But his purpose is to keep you on track for all the good things and just everything in your life. And Jesus calls him, and in John chapter 14 and 16, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit your helper. The Holy Spirit your helper. How many like help? Yeah, he's the helper, all right? He's the helper, and he's sent to help us, and he'll help us in ways you just couldn't imagine. Like Pastor Sherry. She was over at my house, and I'm in the basement downstairs in my office, which is kind of a makeshift right now. She took up the upstairs on the dining room table, and all of a sudden, I hear this scream. Now, what she was doing at the same time was doing laundry, and what I thought, oh, I'll just smack her if she's overflowed that washing machine. Because I'm moving, that means I got to put drywall. Are you kidding me? So I'm running, and I'm hearing, woo, woo, woo. So I'm thinking that, and I run upstairs, and she's doing the shaky dance. Woo, really, really, really. And she's screaming about this computer, and then I finally get her to say, I lost it. I lost all 10 pages. She says, Mom, let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit. No, yeah, and we did, and he did. Okay, so he's the helper. Okay, now he helps through other people, but he was telling us who we can call for help. So praise the Lord, the helper. So I'm talking about rumble strips. Can you put that one? There's a strip of road in New Mexico, and it sings. The rumble strip sings. Uh-huh. And, okay, yeah, get ready. Not yet, but get ready. Okay. So it sings, and what was happening is this stretch of road, they kept having people go really fast and having accidents. And they came up with this brilliant idea. Let's create this special rumble strip. And I wasn't quite sure how they did it, but anyway. And if you go the right speed, 45 miles an hour, that means you probably had to slow down. It sings America the Beautiful. If you go too fast, all you hear is beep, 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 beep. If you go too slow, you hear beep, beep, beep. So you have to slow down. Okay, they're going to pop it up. A cute clip. Okay, you get the idea. Isn't that cute? You almost want to stand up and salute the flag. Okay, and then, you know, some of you, not me, of course, yeah, some of you, I'd like to hear the go fast and then go slow and then go the right speed limit, right? Okay, but so I'm calling this singing rumble strips, and it's about the Holy Spirit because you have to slow down sometimes in life, all right, to allow the Holy Spirit to rumble for you, to guide you, to talk to you. Isn't that cute? That's so cute, right? All right. So let's see. How many of you this week, hey, if I didn't return your phone calls, please forgive me. Okay, I'm still working on that. But this week I was going fast, just faster than lightning. Anybody have a fast week? Okay, I knew one person. I said, you better raise your hand because you just couldn't get hold of them. They're just going so fast, all right? And what I found out by day two, and maybe day three, I needed to slow down, okay? I wasn't in a good place, and I just needed to slow down. And, you know, what happens is I'm going so fast that I forget that the Holy Spirit lives in me. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. But I'm going... Then I need to slow down my life and just remember the Holy Spirit lives inside of me, and the Holy Spirit's the helper, and the Holy Spirit can talk to Sherry and say, calm down, you didn't lose it, okay? So... I can honestly say I don't know where I'd be if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit in my life. Anybody else would stand up and say, "You go, yeah, I would not. I don't know where I'd be." All right, so I really appreciate the Holy Spirit. So let me give you our main idea, the one thing that I want you to understand more clearly than before. And some of you are like, yeah. No, really clear, because sometimes we just go too fast, okay? So if you're taking notes, this is the main idea. You ready? The Spirit in you wants to fill you. Real simple, but you know, simple, I remember. The Spirit in you wants to fill you, okay? So when He fills you, everybody say, He's not weird. When He fills you, He's not weird. I'm telling you, He's not weird. Now, you can't see it. Sometimes, I hate to say it this way, sometimes you'll feel it. I always used to hate to say that, you know, it's not like goosebumps. But sometimes you'll feel like you'll feel more peace in your life because of the Holy Spirit. You're sensing Him. You'll feel more joy in your life, a strength in your life, love in your life. You'll just feel that He's inside you, all right? And because I finally slowed down to allow Him to move in my life. So that was like day three. I finally slowed down to allow Him to move in my life. And so let me show you a scripture that just talks about this. Open up to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5:18. Here we go. When you are guided by the Holy Spirit, you will no longer force yourself to obey the Jewish law. This is the Apostle Paul. He's talking to Christians. And when he talks about the Jewish law, listen, they had 600 laws. It was just bananas. But what this time he's talking about the moral laws, the Jewish moral laws, which of course would include the Ten Commandments. All right. So he's talking about that. And they go like, hey, you need to live holy. You need to live nice. You know, don't do this and don't do that. These are the moral codes. Okay. And here's what he's saying. If you allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life, you won't have to white knuckle it. God, I know you said don't do this. God, I just want to do this. God, this is so hard. God. Okay. That's me without the Holy Spirit. That was day one and two and almost three, okay? But if you will allow the Holy Spirit actually to saturate your life, you will just go, eh, it's no big deal. I'm not even going to mess with that stuff. It's not a big deal for me to say, no, don't do this and that, all righty? So let's read verse 19. Verse 19, it says, but when you follow, so he's talking about being guided by the Holy Spirit, but when you follow your own wrong inclinations, some translations will say your flesh or your sinful nature. So he's saying, when you follow that, listen, what happens? Your lives will produce these evil results, impure thoughts, eagerness for lust, pleasure. And let me tell you, the list goes on and on through verse 21. And all they are things that you would be wanting, things that you could do wrong. It's a whole list of things you could do wrong. And that's not even a whole list, but it's a whole list of things to wrong. And what he's saying here is, if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to saturate your life, to fill your life, you're going to probably end up doing some of those. Okay? So is that a good reason to follow the Holy Spirit? Yeah, I don't want to do those things. You don't want me to do those things. Okay, so praise the Lord. Let's read verse 22. But when the Holy Spirit controls you. Now, this control isn't like a robot make you do that. And some days I think that'd be really nice. Everybody's a robot. I could program them, but I'd lose my free will. So it's not talking about control you like that. If you want to take notes, write down this. It is to influence you. The Holy Spirit control, a.k.a. influence you. He wants to influence you. He wants to influence you, but you have to allow him. You have to let him, okay? You have to allow him to be like loosed in your life. Praise God. So verse 22, but when the Holy Spirit controls or influences your lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us, love. Okay, let me tell you what this looks like. In case you didn't know, I used to have a big thing with road rage. Uh-huh. Now, I know this one person way worser than me. Worser. He got out of the car and got into a fight, so I wasn't that bad. But, okay, but now, you know what? If I let the Holy Spirit, which I do, just one day last week, but it was not good. But I do, I will let the Holy Spirit influence me. And when somebody cuts me off and I don't go, you idiot, what are you, stupid? Okay, because none of you ever say that when someone does that, right? Okay, now what I go, nah, I'm just going to forgive them because of the wonderful things he does. Da, 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 da. Because last week I took Marilyn Neubauer, our guest speaker, back to the airport. Only thing, we had a little miscommunication, and I had to take her to Philadelphia. I said the same thing. I actually said, what? And that wasn't very nice because pastors should be, oh, I'd love to. I actually said, oh, crap. I really did. So that was the beginning of I needed the Holy Spirit and stuff like that. So I have two GPSs going, okay? And one said go this way and one said that way. And at the last minute, I decided to go this way. And I didn't know. I cut some guy off and he was not a happy camper. He is waving fingers at me and beeping his horn. Okay, so now that I allow the Holy Spirit to influence my life, and when someone cuts me off, I just go, God, I probably have done it. Yeah, you sure did. It was like on Monday. And I'm going to forgive them. All right? I'm better at it. Really, I am. I'm better at it. Okay. So the next one, moving on to the next one. What does this look like? Joy. Okay. It says if you are influenced, controlled by the Holy Spirit, this is what you can have come out of you. The other one's joy. Joy is everything has gone wrong, blown up in your life. And you're like, I'm still going to be joyful. Those circumstances aren't going to make me squeeze the juice box and splash all over you. Okay? So that's my definition of, I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit influence me. I'm going to be joyful. Be joyful. Okay, the rest of them, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And here, there is no conflict with the Jewish law. So what he's saying is, when you are influenced, controlled by the Holy Spirit, you're not going to go break those things in the Jewish law. When you're letting the Holy Spirit influence you, you're not going to have a problem doing that. Okay? So if you let the Holy Spirit, he will help you live pure and holy lives, and I won't be calling you idiot who cut me off. Okay? So that's because you've never had road rage. Okay. Good. You all. All right. Ephesians 5, just write this down. This is our text for the whole thing, Ephesians 5 through 21. Now, we're going to go over three verses, starting in verse 18, which we haven't talked about. We've talked about 14, 15, 16, 17. Today, we're going to talk about verse 18. Okay, verse 18. Ephesians, I don't know where it is. Da-da-da-da. Yep, here we go. Verse 18. Don't be drunk with wine. Didn't say you can't drink. It just says don't get drunk, okay? So don't go goofy on me, all right? It says don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I like this translation because it says it will do what? Ruin your life, okay? So like you wake up, you've been drunk the night before, and you wake up that morning, and you got a black eye and a fat lip, and you call your buddies, and you go, hey, I thought we went out last night. What happened? Well, you cussed out this girl, and her boyfriend just beat you up. And what girl? And he's fine, you know, this girl. Oh, she's such a nice girl. Why would I say that? Because you were drunk as a skunk, okay? Now, so it'll ruin your life. It just kind of messes your life up, all right? It can also, not even the physical, what's that, sclerosis of the liver? That really, yeah, it's something similar to that. Cirrhosis. Okay, not in the nursing field. Okay, so it'll hurt you in a lot of ways, being drunk. Costs money, relationships, it's just, okay. So what's the solution? Listen to what he says. He says, I highly recommend, instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. I highly recommend, instead, be controlled, influenced by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, I think about people that get drunk on purpose. Now, not have a drink, but get drunk on purpose. I kind of think they must be trying to escape a problem, life. Life's painful, so that's their escape. But here he's saying, hey, instead, I highly recommend, instead, why don't you be filled with the Holy Spirit? Because that'll give you a more positive outcome. Amen. Real basic. Yes, amen. Praise God. Thank you, Dee. All right. So let's talk about be filled. Be filled. In the Greek, it really says be continually filled. Be filled, keep on being filled. Being filled, being filled. You get my point? All right. Now, let's just say today I yielded, allowed the Holy Spirit, and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'll tell you ways to do that in a little bit. And then I go to bed at night, and I wake up. You wake up, I'm sorry to say, you're probably on empty. It's because you have to keep refill. I was just thinking of a picture. You know when you go to fast food place and they give you an empty cup and you're allowed to keep refilling. But you go to some of those places, or go out, you only get to fill once, right? I don't like those. I like the refill. But guys, you have to continually be filled and again. So if you did this 10 years ago, I think you might be on empty. Just saying, okay? Praise the Lord. Let's look at verse 19 and 20. 19 and 20, except for I lost my place. Hang on a minute. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm not going to read them, but verse 18, we just said, gives you one way, and then there's other ways, and we're going to read them at the end. One of the other ways you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, write this down, is through worship. That song, that last song, what was it called? I got it over here. Fight my battles, fight my battles. You go and worship. You go and worship. So we're going to talk about worship at the end. But let me talk again about this, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You read your New Testament, you will see be filled with the Holy Spirit over and over and over. It's all over the New Testament from the epistles on, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being receiving the Holy Spirit. Now, right there, some people check out on me. Okay, but the majority of the people at this church, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're charismatic, whatever thing you want to say. But we've got new people here, and you've never even heard about being filled with the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit. And then we have some people, and I'm sure they're not here, that say, it's not for today. And then we have some people that say, it's of the devil. Anybody ever hear that stuff? I used to hear that stuff, okay? So I just want you to listen. Just listen wherever you are on the board here. Just listen. Now, let me ask you a question. Am I not normal? You're all supposed to say, yeah. Am I not? I'm not weird. You're supposed to say, no, Pastor D, you're not weird. Gosh, geez. All right. Okay. No, I'm not weird. But let me tell you, I received Jesus. And then soon afterwards, I received the Holy Spirit, the infilling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I spoke in other tongues. So when someone tells me, I have a hard time when someone tells me, this is not for today, because I'm still here. It must be for today, okay? So I'm going to share a little bit more later on here, but think about this. The Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. God told him to write this. All right, open up to Acts chapter 19, and he talks about this. Now, he is going to run into a group of people. He's assuming they're Christians, and he's going to, opening line, he's going to ask him this first question first. Now, usually when I meet, see, I'm a woman, so I go, oh, tell me about your kids. My name is Dee. Okay, my first question is not his first question, but his first question is a really good first question. So you're all over at Acts 19, verse 1. Golly gee, I walked backwards and I didn't fall. Praise the Lord. Okay. Alrighty. So he's going to run into these people and his first question goes, here he goes. Verse 1, Acts 19, 1. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. Okay. There he found some disciples. All right. Now, he's going to ask the question, which you're like, why do you ask that question first? But it really is a good question to ask first. Ready? He asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, he's assuming they're Christians because he says, what? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Okay. They answered, no, we've not even heard that there's the Holy Spirit. Okay. We don't even know this now. Real interesting. This has been taught so goofy, incorrectly. So I'm just saying one more time. Am I not normal? Am I not weird? Not weird? I'm not weird. Okay? All right. But in Acts chapter 2, when he says receive, he's using a word. I'm going to spell it for you because you know my English and Greek is just wonderful. L-A-M-B-A-N-O. Lambano. L-A-M-B-A-N-O. Really important. He's using this word for the word receive. Okay, let me give you an example. Write this down. It means to take hold of what you already have. Last part, really important. Take hold, did you receive? Take hold of what you already have, what you already possess. Did you take hold of what you already possess? Okay, here's my example. If you were to come up to me after church in the foyer and say, Pastor D, I want to give you a cell phone, a new one. I'm like, I barely work the old one, okay? But you want to give me this new cell phone, all right? And so I took the cell phone that you handed me. Right there, I would not use the Greek word lambano because I didn't already have it. It wasn't already in my possession. It wasn't mine before, okay? Now, I'll give you an example of lambano here. I have two laptops. One of them is Kathy, that Chromebook. Chromebook, and my computer guy just hates working on it, okay? I have a Chromebook. I've had it for about 5 years. Right now, it's sitting downstairs on my makeshift desk, okay? And let me ask you this. Do I still possess that Chromebook? I do. Where is it sitting? Downstairs on my desk, all righty? It's sitting there. Now, if I were to, let's do this. If I were to pick this up and I held it in my hands, I picked it up, it's mine, and I held it in my hands, you may use that word lumbano, okay? Because it's something I already had, but I am now holding on to it, okay? Taking possession of it. But it was already mine. It was already mine. Key thing. It was already mine. It was already my possession, but right then I just took hold of it, okay? Now, so here we have the Apostle Paul, and he goes up to these guys and he says, have you received, lumbano, the Holy Spirit yet? Okay, so why did he say that? Why did he say that? It's okay, important question, but I can't tell you. Let's read verse 3 and 4. Okay, here we go. 3 and 4. First I said in verse 2, no, we haven't. Then Paul asked them, then what baptism did you receive? And they go, John's baptism, they replied. Verse 4, Paul said, John's baptism, guys, John's baptism was of repentance. And he told the people to believe in the one coming after him. Who? Jesus. John told them to believe in Jesus who was coming after him, all right? And that is Jesus. Now, they knew about the one coming after, but they hadn't received him yet. So listen to what happens, all right? So on hearing this is Paul. When Paul heard this, he's like, goody, goody, goody. On hearing this, he says, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. So at that point, they become born again. They now have the Holy Spirit. We'll get into that, okay? The Holy Spirit's now in them. Verse 6, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in other tongues, and they prophesied, and there were about 12 of them. Those 12 guys that Paul prayed for them to receive Jesus, and then they were baptized, received the Holy Spirit. Those 12 guys went with Paul to Ephesus and started the largest church ever. The commentaries say 1 million people. Some commentaries say 2 million people. The first church in Ephesus. Bananas, right? Okay. So I think it's really interesting. First, what he does is he says, do you know Jesus? And they didn't. So he prays for them. They received Jesus. And then he lays hands on them to receive, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they speak in other tongues. We'll talk about it, and they prophesy. Pretty good for a day's work, huh? Pretty good, okay? Now, speaking in tongues and prophesies is outward of what happened on the inside. Okay, and we'll talk more about that, alrighty? Now, probably got everybody's attention because I'm talking about tongues and being filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? But I just want you to be aware that I'm aware that not everybody thinks like you do, and I do, okay? And I'm going to give you some resources, some websites and YouTubes you can go on if you want to know more. But let's move on here. Some people will say, well, Pastor D, that was just a sign back then. It was. But it's also for today to do something in your devotional, your personal time. And we'll talk about that. Then people will say, well, Pastor D, didn't it say it would pass away? That scripture is found in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6, somewhere around there. And it says, when the perfect comes, this will pass away. And people say, well, the perfect came. The Bible's perfect, so it'll pass away. Guys, read your Bible in context. Read 3 up and 3 down. Read that whole chapter. It's not talking about that. It's talking about when you get your glorified body, size 6, okay? When I'm in heaven, it's going up in age. You say size 2. I am going to have a glorified body. I'm going to be in the perfect in heaven. I'm not going to need this. But God has given us the Holy Spirit now. Everybody say now. Because I need help. You need help. All right. So it's for now. All right. So I need help now. Now you've all heard me to give my story about how I got born again. I was in college and la, la, la. So I got born again and I was raised in the Catholic Church, and I really thank God for it, for some of it, because I was very aware that there was a God. He had a son, Jesus, and this Holy Spirit thing, and Mary. Okay, so I got born again. I asked Jesus into my life, and I didn't know anything. I didn't even know a scripture. I didn't even know Romans Road. I just was in a bad place in my life. I said, yeah, sure, I want all of this. So I got born again. That means I have the life of God, the Spirit of God. This is the temple of God. He lives inside of me, the Holy Spirit. Okay, and I would go to Catholic Mass on Sunday night. And Saturday night Catholic Mass, and then Sunday morning I go to this Pentecostal church because I was just making sure. I was making sure. And so I was going to this, and it was like, wow, just wonderful. And then one day this girl, Liz, invited me to a meeting at a hotel room, one of those, you rent hotel rooms, okay? And so I don't even know what the guy was preaching on it, but at the end he says, God has a gift for everyone. It's for today. I was like, gifts. Catholic love gifts. We take gifts. So I raised my hand. Didn't know what I was doing. Raised my hand, and then I listened to the last part. He says, you can be filled and receive the Holy Spirit. And I wanted to go, ah! But too late. My hand went up. Okay. But then I thought, I want the gifts. People come around you, start praying for you. And I was embarrassed. Okay. And they're going, speak, speak. And I'm like, I had shut down. Okay. I'm sure nobody's ever had the shutdown when people all gather around. So I kind of shut down. But the next week, Jack and I are dating. I think we might even be engaged by then. He's up at Penn State, and he calls me up almost in tears. He's about ready to take this. He's got to take this big test. And if he doesn't pass this test, he flunks again. So he flunks. So he goes, Dee, pray for me, pray for me. Okay, coming out of the Catholic Church. Hail Mary, our Father, the Apostle Creed, and bless us the Lord. For these I give, about to receive the right. Okay, I don't know prayer. So I just pray all of that. Okay. But I love this man. I'm in love. He's hot. He's love. I just love him. So I'm just trying going over these prayers, and I'm like, I don't know what else to say. And all of a sudden I hear in my head these thoughts and these words bubble out of my mouth, just like four words. And it freaked me out. But then I was just like, I am going to allow this to move in my life. And I just start speaking in other tongues, and we'll tell you what else it does. Okay. So, it's late at night when I'm praying. So the next morning, I couldn't wait. The next morning, I call my friend Liz. Liz, you do this. I do this. What happened? So she gives me a couple of scriptures, and you can just, 1 Corinthians, well, the ones I gave you in John, 1 Corinthians 12, a little bit in 13 and 14. She gave me those 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. Camp out in there. So I read that because, you know, I haven't read my Bible. I didn't really read my Bible back then, okay? But I have to laugh. I didn't know any of this stuff that I'm teaching you today. I just knew it was a gift. I'll take it, all right? So now I'm giving you some scriptures, so I'll give you an understanding, all righty? Now, again, I'm kind of normal, right? I'm not weird. And God would just whoosh, give me a gift, and I'd say, gimme, gimme, gimme. I want all of it, all right? So turn over to 1 Corinthians 14, because that's one of those that we want to go through. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. This explains what happens to me. It'll explain what happens to you. 1 Corinthians 14, 4. What happens when you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit or filled with the Holy Spirit or received the Holy Spirit, whatever sentence you like, okay? 1 Corinthians 14:4. It says, so a person speaking in tongues helps himself grow spiritually. Some translations say edify. Everybody say edify. I like edify. Some translations say build yourself up. So speaking in tongues edifies you, builds yourself up. How many of you had Friday, the day from hell? Do you think you need a little building up? This is what you do. Okay. Okay, speaking in tongues, it'll edify, build you up. All righty. But the one who prophesies, preaches a message from God, helps the entire church grow in holiness. And we'll talk a little bit about that there. Now, I'm backtracking. Chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is about balance. Everybody say balance. If you ever run into people, they're just off the rockers. They're so good. They're just extremes. Okay. Chapter 14 is about balance. The Apostle Paul saw the Corinthian church and they were crazy. All righty. So he writes chapter 14 to get them on balance. And he talks about really two things. one thing, two things. He's talking about this speaking in tongues. One, everybody say one, for a church setting. And two, speaking in tongues for private. Me. Okay? So he has to go in and help these goofballs be not goofy. And he gets them to be balanced, all righty? So what he says is, in a church service, we're in a church service, all right? If somebody stands up and prays in tongues, you want to run out the door. You'll never come back, especially if they are a high screecher. And I've been in those services, okay? But if you can teach people like what we're doing right now, it won't freak them out. And then there needs to be an interpreter. So if you speak in tongues, there's someone, tongues is a language you don't know. There needs to be someone who gives the interpretation. In the United States right here, it better be in English right here where we are, okay? Okay. So that is why we teach what we teach, so you don't go running out the door. Lock the door, Mark. He's standing in the back here. Okay. But what's really important about praying in the Spirit or speaking in other tongues, okay, is it builds you up. Builds you up. Some of you, before your feet touch the ground in the morning, you got to build up. You know what your day is looking like. You. Some of you, by the time noon runs around, you better be doing this because you need to be built up and edified. And most nights I need to do this because it was a doozy. Okay? The most important thing for the Holy Spirit, for me personally, for you personally, is it builds you up. It edifies you. Shh. And it's better than getting drunk. Praise God. Amen. Okay, verse 14, it says, okay, verse 14, I can't find my papers. That's 12. Oh yeah. For if I pray in a language I don't understand, pray in the Spirit, my spirit is praying, but I don't know what I'm saying. All right. So this point, it's talking about when you and I pray in the Holy Spirit for our personal devotion. Okay, it says, I don't understand what I'm saying. All right, anybody know that? You don't understand what you're saying? Okay, now, I'm jumping around, but I'm really on track. I am not lost. We're going down this road. Just write down 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul asks this question. He says, does everybody speak in tongues? And the answer there is no, because Paul is talking in this public scenario. Does everybody stand up in a public setting and speak out loud in tongues? No. There's people that have the gift to do that. I do not. I work in a little different gifts, okay? But do all of us have access to speak in tongues privately for our personal life? Yes. Everybody say yes. Yes. Personally, yes, you can. Publicly, not everybody has it, okay? Praise God. Okay, verse 14, again, if I pray in a language or tongues I don't understand, my spirit prays. Listen to the Amplified. If I pray in the Spirit, my spirit by the Holy Spirit prays perfect prayers. That means you hit bullseyes, okay? Now, again, I'm normal, I'm not weird, but you guys come to an amazing church. You know why? Your pastors pray for you a couple times a week, and I call you my people. If you're YCF people, my people, Father God, I thank you for my people. I thank you, Father, that they are blessed. And I do the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, bless and go. I thank you, Father, that they hear your voice and they are being transformed by the word of God. I thank you, Father, that they are da 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 da. And I pray all of that in English, okay? But then I think about you. I don't know all that's going on in your life unless you tell me. So then I switch gears and I will pray in tongues and that other language for you. Perfect prayer. You go to an amazing church. You are getting prayed over perfect prayers. And I'll just pray for you, okay? Sometimes, now this is the gift that sometimes I will hear as I pray in tongues, I will hear just kind of, I know what it is. Sometimes I'll call you up and I said, I just real low key. Hey, I was thinking about you. I was just praying for you, blah, 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 okay? But perfect All right. Now I had kids. Anybody have kids? I don't know what's going on. They live in California, Missouri, and whatever. And sometimes I do know what's going on, and I'll pray everything I know in English, and then I'll just pray in the Holy Spirit, pray in tongues for my kids. And I am praying perfect to help them in their life. Right? My prayers or the Holy Spirit is then perfect, just doing great things. Where's Joyce? Where's my friend Joyce? Joyce and I grabbed hands. I said, I was praying for Jesse, and I always throw Mark under the bus too. And and half of that was in English, and the other half I was just praying for our sons in tongues. Amen. Okay. Let's see. Again, I'm not weird. Praise the Lord. I'm normal. Praise the Lord. Okay. Listen to verse 18 and 19. This is Paul again, and he's talking to these. They are so charismatic, crazy Christians, this bunch here. And he says, I pray, thank God I speak in tongues privately, not in a church setting, more than you all. Oh, okay. Verse 19, but in public worship, like a Sunday morning, I would rather speak five words that people can understand, like in English, to be helped by than 10,000 words speaking in tongues. Okay, so Paul's saying, these Corinthians, you all look great. You are not whack jobs. Okay, they were just extreme and not really taught. Okay, but they were passionate. They just needed some help. So he's saying, hey, listen, as crazy as you all are, I pray in the Spirit more than you guys. Okay? Why? Why? Why would he pray? Number one, because he's got this bunch he's supposed to pastor. So he prays, and it builds him up, strengthens him, gives him joy. All right? So whatever you're going through, I just encourage you, the benefit of praying in the Holy Spirit, praise God. It'll edify you, and it just directs great things. All righty. Praise God. Let's do. Again, when I first received the gift, I didn't know what I raised my hand for, but I got it. Then I got understanding. Okay. And some of you, the Lord's just downloading. And you're like, wow, this is great. I want this gift. We will pray with you after church. I'll have elders and grow group leaders. We will pray for you if you want to do it that way. Or you can do it at home. Or you might be the person, which is good. You need more. You need more. I need to know more before I volunteer for this thing. Anybody say, I'm not signing up till I read all the fine print. Well, Henny, have you ever heard of Robert Morris? He pastors, not that large church is a better church. He pastors a really large church in Dallas, and I got to go down there a couple years ago. That year I got snowed in down in Texas. Got to go there. And Pastor Morris Robert Morris wrote a book, and it's called, The God I Never Knew. You know, it's a fantastic book. Write this down. They're going to pop up on the screen. The God I Never Knew. And what happened is, what you don't know about him, he went to a seminary. He went to a seminary, and he has his doctorate in divinity. I'm doing speech, and so good today, I can tell you. And so he was taught that this stuff was for a long time ago. This stuff's of the devil. So he went to a school like that, okay? And he's pastoring a church. And one day, oh no, he must have said, God, is there more? And he started speaking in other tongues. Can you imagine being a denominational pastor like that? So he started speaking in other tongues, and then he started digging in the Bible, and he wrote this book, The God I Never Knew. The Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit I Never Knew. And what's so great about this book is it answers any question you have. So actually, you can go on YouTube and just write The God I Never Knew. He does 6 lessons, and he answers like even questions I didn't even think of. Like, whoa, you mean somebody asked that question, and he answers it. It's just really good. As a matter of fact, just a little subtle hint here, this would make a great grow group. 6 weeks, get the book, or we pop the video on, and then we just have discussions, and we can just go sailing. Just saying, just a good idea, okay? Okay. Praise the Lord. So he goes through, and listen, this was a non-believer told, it's of the devil, it's not for today. And God just changes his life. And he is a super, I mean, he's brilliant, but I actually understand him. You ever get somebody brilliant and like, I don't know what half these words mean. I need a dictionary. Okay. Just great pastor. Really sweet, sweet, sweet. Okay. So for all of those that need to know more, go online, listen to that, watch it. Go to our bookstore. We probably have a dozen books about who is the Holy Spirit, how to receive the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit will do in your life, all right? So you can go in our bookstore. But going back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 we just read gives you one way that you can be filled, but I want to read verses 19 and 20, Ephesians 5 verses 19 and 20. Okay, 19 and 20. These are other ways that the Holy Spirit can be a rumble strip in your life. Ready? Singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs among yourself and making music to the Lord in your heart. That's worship. That was that song. Worship. Woo! It'll edify you, build you. Okay, I'll talk more about that. But I'm going to tell you how to loose a rumble strip. One, write this down. You have to slow down your life. How do you loose a rumble strip in your life? One, you have to slow down your life. Two, you have to pray a little bit, okay? God only comes when you ask. You ask him, he'll come. He's not a pushy person, okay? Number three, worship a little bit. So, you know, you put on a CD or whatever, press your little buttons and, you know, while you're driving, okay? Now, what's that scripture? God inhabits the praises of his people. So all hell looks like they moved in your house. Just put on worship and all hell has to go out because God inhabits the praises of his people. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, so I want to look at verse 20 a little bit and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus and give thanks. You know what he's saying? Be grateful. Stay grateful. All right? Grateful. Grateful. Be grateful. if you are by nature one of those negative Neds or negative Nancys, okay, you're not grateful. Okay. I used to be that. I would find everything wrong in every situation. And you know what that is? You got this big balloon, you stick a pin in it, and I just take the air out of every situation. All right, that was me. But listen, if I can become a grateful person, anybody in the world can. I just would, and I would ask the Holy Spirit, you know, just go like this. I catch myself, oh, I'm about ready to go down that negative Nancy road. All right, so be grateful. What does grateful look like? Let's just say you lost your job and your attitude's, oh man, that stinking company! I can't believe they just bellied up, and now I'll never find a job. Or how about you be grateful? Father God, I thank you for this company that I worked for that has blessed me for so many years. Father, I thank you. They have given me a great salary. It's just been wonderful. And Father, I thank you that you are my provider. I thank you. I come behind a no good thing. I thank you that you supply all my needs. And God, I just thank you that you're going to give me an even better job. Doesn't that sound better? All right. Negative Ned, Nancy, or you can be grateful. All right. When you get into that, you could be this worshiper. Oh, I just sing. Okay. But you start that negative, it's putting the pin in the balloon. And the benefits from being a worshiper or praying in the Holy Spirit, the benefits, you just put a pin in the balloon. They're not going to work. All right. So yes, let's keep ourselves as grateful hearts. The last one, it talks about worship. Okay. It said, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Okay, worship. Big question. How many of you felt better after we worshiped this morning? Man, it does something. Oh, you know, like the Holy Spirit. It edifies. It builds you up. It cleans you out. Okay, so worship does great, amazing things. And what it does is it releases the Holy Spirit. Just releases the Holy Spirit. Okay, and then he comes in and moves in your life. Praise God. Now, not only will it release the Holy Spirit, it'll influence your life. It'll guide your life into something better. So, you know, it looks like all hell's breaking loose. Put on your CD, start singing. I sing on the way to church, to work, in the shower, just, you know. And listen, I still don't know when you clap. I don't get it. They've told me 10 billion times, don't get it. And you don't want me, Nevin, on the worship team, right? But I make it a point just about every day to worship the Lord, okay? Like I said, in the car, whatever, or I put some music on. I just worship the Lord. Now, the interesting, some days, till the day's done, I got to do it again, okay? Because it says, be continually being filled, being filled, being filled, being filled. And again, I'm just a regular person. I'm not weird, but I have the Holy Spirit. And this is ways that the rumble strip can guide you, keep you on the path, okay? Because everything in life is just trying to smash you, just shoot you down, squish you, get you off, and make you quit, all right? How about, oh, good going, Pastor D. Not bad there. All right. Some of you here, I know you know about the Holy Spirit. You've even received the Holy Spirit, but you're not doing nothing with it, okay? It gets like that, just pull the lawnmower string and get it going again. Okay? Get it going again. Alrighty? Others of you, maybe you need to go watch the YouTube, all right? Just you need some more, all right? And I just want to, we're going to have time of prayer. If you'd like to come up and to receive, we'll pray for you. Get ready. My grow group leaders or elders, and come on up front here in a minute. But let me pray for you. Father, I thank you that we are not alone. Aren't you glad we're not alone? Amen. The Holy Spirit's in us. I thank you he's in us the second we ask Jesus Christ into our life. I thank you that he's working in our lives. I thank you that you give us different ways of being filled. I thank you, Father, that if when we slow down and we allow you access, man, you do beautiful things in our life. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you so much. And I thank you, Father, that if you ask, you'll receive. If you ask, you said, if you ask, you know, you're good fathers, you're good mothers. If you ask for a loaf of bread, you're not going to give them a scorpion. If you ask for this, you're not going to give them something bad. And you just simply have to ask for the Holy Spirit. And he will fill you, and you will have this amazing gift that edifies, builds you up, helps you stay strong, stay filled with love, joy, peace, and all those gifts. So we just, can we all just say thank you, Holy Spirit? Man, thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm going to dismiss you, but if you would like to receive